relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
And some say he succeeded. The former senator from Illinois who rose to the highest office in the land. He came here as president 2008, the same year I arrived in the United States. Maybe I was blinkered, but I didn't see great political and racial divide. Now, 16 years later, things are very, very different. Can we do something about it? Let's talk to one man whose organization is bravely trying to do exactly that. He's been on the show once before, but now for a special one-on-one in studio, we're delighted to have from Braver Angels, John Wood Jr. John, welcome in studio.
Sebastian, it is a pleasure, brother, and I appreciate the invitation as always.
Well, thank you kindly. You were very gracious to invite me to one of your events in the upcoming months. I will be vacationing with our listeners. If you haven't done so already, please register. I think we've got like five cabins left for our Patriots Alaska cruise to the most beautiful state of the Republic, June 29th to July 6th. If you especially missed our trip to Israel a year ago, this is for you. Check out the itinerary at sebgorka.com and book your cabin today. 370 of you have already done so. That's SEBGORKA, sebgorka.com, and the Patriots Alaska Cruise banner. Okay, so let's start with Braver Angels. It's from the first sentence on the website. It's very clear that you recognize that there is too much division, there's far too much partisanship in America. Why is the case? Let's start with a diagnosis. Why are we where we are today?
Well, you know, like anything that is big and significant, there are a number of different elements to it. I tend to break it down into a few different pieces. Part of it is technological. We are living in the most peculiar moment in human history insofar as we have these platforms, we upload our consciousness to the digital system. Suddenly, we have access to millions and millions of people around the world, but the nature of the communication is such that we are put in touch with people, but we aren't really seeing people. We aren't really connecting with people in a whole kind of holistic sort of way. We are digital abstractions reduced to text, reduced to images, reduced to AI recreations that we really don't even know or whether they're real, whether they're fake, right? These things sort of distort the landscape, and baked within that, of course, you've got all sorts of incentive to divide people, to throw out all sorts of things that sort of traffic and demonization, demagoguery. We build up our social media empires on the basis of that. There's a lot of incentive to do that. That's thing number one. Thing number two, you go back in time a bit. Used to be during the much lionized era of Walter Cronkite and so forth. And look, anything you look in the rearview mirror at through rose-colored glasses isn't going to be wholly correct. But there used to be this idea that back in an era where everybody was watching ABC, CBS, NBC, back in an era where everybody knew who the heavyweight champion of the world was and what song was number one on the pop charts, that Americans had something of a shared frame of reference for understanding what was going on, even if we disagreed about the implications of that. But eventually you get CNN, you get the 24-hour news cycle, you get all of these sort of different ways of articulating the narrative of reality in terms of what's going on in American politics, and you get the echo chamber effect. Suddenly we're not speaking the same language, we don't have as many points of connection. There's another part to it, though, that I think needs to be highlighted. And actually, this is sort of twofold in and of itself. On the one hand, you have the increasing demographic diversification of American society. Immigration in the 1960s, people of color, sexual minorities rising up in the institutions in American life, bringing different sort of narratives on American history, politics. But what begins to dissolve beneath all of that is a common moral frame for understanding our society, our culture, our history, which I think you can attribute largely to the dissolution of the shared religious context for understanding who we are as a nation, what our history is trailing behind us, which would be okay if it weren't for the fact that along with that dissolution comes the evaporation of any sort of language for being able to have a deeper conversation about morality, about virtue, about the sort of society we want to strive towards. One thing I've talked about a bit in some of my writings, some of my speeches, is the fact that you go back to the 1960s, the two major movements to come out of that period of time were the civil rights movement on the one hand, most in mainstream, most specifically sort of recognizable under the banner of leadership of Martin Luther King Jr., and the conservative movement, which has a number of origins, but which I and others would trace back to the publication of The Conservative Mind, authored by Russell Kirk.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about Russell Kirk and Martin Luther King Jr. is that these were two men who were polar political opposites of each other in terms of their policy prescriptions. And yet, if you look at their overarching moral values, if you look at the overarching philosophical frame of understanding that animated philosophical conservatism, the Kirkian tradition, and nonviolence in the Kingian tradition, each started with the idea that we live in an ordered universe. Each started with the idea that there is a greater power that anchors human beings in a sense of virtue, where there's goodwill, prudence, wisdom. Each believed in the imperfectibility of human nature, that we are born in sin, and we have to keep that in mind as we strive towards improving society. Each believed in a sense of community that transcended atomic individualism or big state collectivism. Each was deeply skeptical of the impact of materialism on the social and political culture of the United States, and each was also deeply skeptical of a broader sort of culture of imperialism that obviously was very relevant during the years of the Vietnam War and afterwards. And so what this meant was that in an era where these two movements came into collision with each other, there still was perhaps a pathway towards a greater reconciliation, at least insofar as when Dr. King spoke about the beloved community, tied that to a vision of the idealism of the founding fathers of the Judeo-Christian tradition that animated Dr. King and many others. Even as Dr. King's politics were well to the left, there was a moral, spiritual language that invited Americans from each end of a wide spectrum into what ultimately could be a shared conversation with a shared goal.
Can that be summarized with the statement that one doesn't, because you're talking about moral framework that are shared by all Americans, that this isn't a nation where you have to be a Christian to be an American, but the values the nation was founded upon are Judeo-Christian values?
I think it is fair to say that. Now, I would also echo Dr. King in saying this, that Dr. King talked about the foot soldiers of the civil rights movement, the nonviolent movement. And of course, it was initially born out of the black church and then saw the participation of many college students and activists, not all of them black, of course, many white, many Jewish, etc. And Dr. King pointed out the fact that there were some who were non-believers, but that the commonality they had in the movement, even if they're atheists, was that they still believed in an overarching power of agape, of nonviolence, what Dr. King would have framed as Christian love, to affect the conscience of the opposition, right? Richard Dawkins, who recently made statements that confused people a fair amount, he said,
well, one of the horsemen of the atheist apocalypse,
of the new atheist,
said, I don't want Britain to be a Muslim because I miss the hymns. I'm not a Christian, but I miss the hymns of my youth. It was a kind of strange statement. Professor Dawkins, why is it that you like Christian context? He can't quite answer that question for himself.
Well, yeah, I mean, Dr. Dawkins was identifying himself as a cultural Christian, mm-hmm. even as he doesn't buy the metaphysical arguments and mythology, so to speak, of the Christian Bible.
But he does. He just won't admit it. I mean, we know why he said that, right? There's a reason why he says, I don't want the UK to be a Muslim country. Well, why not? I mean, Islam, the muezzin, the songs and poets of Islam, he's making a statement that really speaks to the cultural values that he values, but he can't say he's a believer in God, I think.
Here's the thing I would want to stress, though. Because for me as a Christian, we can say Christianity, and that can mean a number of different things to different people. I think that the thing that matters is embodying the virtue of Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
The virtue of Christianity. And what does that mean? We can have a bigger conversation about that. But for me, everything you need to know on a certain level about the moral fortitude of Jesus Christ, you learn on the cross when, as people are lacerating him to death, he says to his father, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He prays for those who are literally in the process of murdering him, right? And
hold that thought. We'll expand upon it. We're talking to the National Ambassador for Braver Angels, John Wood Jr. Follow him at John R. Wood Jr. on Twitter. The website is braverangels.org. I'm Sebastian Gorka. If you enjoy the deep dive discussions with fascinating guests like John, make sure you are subscribed to the podcast, whichever platform you prefer. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First, and do leave us a 5-star review. Greetings, this is Dr. Sebastian Gorka from the Midas Gold Group War Room. The MAGA veterans at Midas point out that the Federal Reserve note does not belong to you. It belongs to the Federal Reserve Bank. While the federal debt doesn't belong to the Federal Reserve Bank, it belongs to you. This is your wake-up call to what the Midas Gold Group veterans believe the central bank and government are trying to do. A controlled demolition of our current system with a central bank digital currency to take complete and utter control of our transactional freedoms. A literal digital concentration camp replete with social sanctions. Protect yourself. Turn this wake-up call into a phone call and look into the opportunities that gold can provide you as a way to diversify your investments. Call veteran-owned Midas Gold Group today, 855-322-GOLD, or go to MidasGoldGroup.com. That's 855-322-GOLD, or just go to MidasGoldGroup.com. Always faithful, Midas Gold Group, MAGA, and proud of it. Are you ready to embark on an unforgettable expedition this summer? Then join me, Sebastian Gorka, along with Mike Gallagher and our special guests on the Patriots Alaska Cruise. We'll unpack the trends and influences shaping our world today while sailing the pristine coast of Alaska over the 4th of July weekend. Learn more at patriotsalaskacruise.com. This experience is more than a vacation. It's a chance to participate in spirited discussions and thought-provoking lectures with like-minded patriots. 7 action-packed days charting a course toward a bright American future, all while surrounded by Alaska's natural wonders on a luxury cruise ship. Mark your calendars, June 29th to July 6th. Secure your cabin today by calling 855-565-5519 or book online at patriotsalaskacruise.com. That's patriotsalaskacruise.com. So let me just continue with the question of diagnosis. And because you say your organization is trying to get over the political divisions in America, let's just start with those divisions, because you're a very astute observer of the culture and of politics. What is the political environment we live in today? Because we've kind of transcended Republican and Democrat.
Right.
In 16, we saw really two battling populisms, the populisms of the Bernie Sanders type, vice the America First MAGA populism.
Yeah.
What is the political environment today? Is it to be very, very blunt about it, the globalists who don't like America versus those who believe in economic populism? Mm. If you had to take a snapshot, what is the political reality in America today?
Right. Yeah. Well, I think that it's not an unfair approximation to say that while left-right polarization is still our predominant way of talking about things and still has validity as a way of understanding what's going on, that there's also this establishment populist divide, which transcends the traditional party categories, right?
Right.
Now, on the left, I think you can argue that the populist lost when Bernie Sanders lost. But that energy is still very much there. And in different ways, you saw it sort of blow up in the form of Black Lives Matter, and in a very different, non sort of racially focused way, it was in Occupy Wall Street prior to. But we live in a moment in time where, on the one hand, political identity amounts to personal identity in a way that it did not in the mid 20th century. And so that
is a function of identity politics? What is that a result of? That it's broken down?
Yeah, what my historical take on that would be that, yes, I mean, function of identity politics in so much as in the aftermath of the civil rights movement, you had a couple of things happen. I mean, for reasons we can go back and forth on historically, Black voters congregated in the Democratic Party that up until then was more heavily represented in the Democratic South. Democratic voters congregated in the Republican Party. Civil rights issues, but also religious issues, tended to create cultural dividing lines along the lines of party affiliation in ways that weren't necessarily the case prior to that. I mean, it used to be in the past that in one way or another, you could be a liberal Republican, you could be a conservative Democrat. Me knowing what party you were doesn't necessarily tell me anything much about your religious values or your larger sort of perspective on maybe civil rights or what have you. Back in the pre-civil rights era, post-civil rights, going in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, that's less and less the case. And so identity politics does have a big part to do with that. And so it's been lumped up into who we are as people to differ from each other as political parties. There's some danger in that because it means that we are content to not listen to one another in the course of a given conversation. Everybody has a history. We're trailing behind them, right? And part of the hope I have for populism is that if we can get past the culture war side of things that keeps us from being able to see beyond the sort of pre-molded Republican versus Democrat way of talking about things, we can recognize the fact that, A, there's a long history, I would argue, of disenfranchisement and marginalization in America visiting both poor African Americans and poor white people in this country, something we can trace back to the colonial era through the Civil War and onward and onward, as well as there being in the broad lineage traditions of the American people, again, hearkening back to Martin Luther King Jr. and Russell Kirk as examples, but ways of understanding ourselves as Americans, ways of understanding our society, tapping into the better angels of our religious traditions.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolfe. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Let me just push back on that for a second. So you're trying to get beyond the very powerful pull of the culture war divide today.
Yeah.
And I have to ask how. In an age where one side promotes, you know, transgender surgery of children and then writes multi-thousand-word articles in The Atlantic talking about the browning of America and why we have to celebrate it. But if a conservative commentator says there is a replacement theory being implemented by the left, you're called a conspiracy theorist. You know, the culture war memes, if you will, have been fully embraced by both sides of the political divide. Yeah. So how do we step beyond that? What is the transmission belt to say, sorry, we need to go
beyond
that?
There's no stepping beyond it.
Oh, okay.
There's no stepping beyond it.
Okay.
We have to move through it.
Okay.
Right?
So what does that look like?
Well, that's exactly the question. In the work we do at Brave Ranch, so let me say a little bit about our organization.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we are a membership organization, 14,000 or so members across the country, a few thousand active volunteers. Work that we do in congressional committees, state and local governments, but we are principally grassroots. College campuses, about 100 strong across America, about the same number or so of local bipartisan alliances. What we do is we give people the opportunity to engage in relationship building with each other through in-person workshops, through Zoom-based debate structures, showing people how to think about each other beyond the stereotypes, how to build relationships of trust and empathy, of patriotic empathy across the divide, how to debate and fiercely challenge each other on the issues while also maintaining relationships of goodwill towards each other in ways that reflect the better angels of our nature, the higher angels of our moral and religious traditions. And in so doing, give ourselves the opportunity to challenge each other while staying in relationship with each other. Because the thing that I keep coming back to, Sebastian, is that regardless of what happens at the end of this election cycle, we still have to live next to each other tomorrow.
Right.
So I'm not here necessarily to offer you an endpoint in terms of where the debates and the arguments are going, where the policy is going to land. What my concern is about, what Braver Angels work is principally about, I mean, I'll give you in whatever opinion you want from me in terms of my personal view on things, but in terms of what our movement is striving towards, we're striving towards revitalizing a culture of debate, discourse, and relationship building among the American people that can allow us to be neighbors even in the face of the depth of some of these disagreements. Because without that, we don't have a country, regardless of who wins in 2024 and beyond.
Find out more about the initiatives at braverangels.org and follow our friend at John R. Wood Jr. And don't forget to give me a follow on all the social media sites. Just look for Seb Gorka or Sebastian Gorka. Truth Social, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Parler, Getter. You can watch us by downloading the Salem News Channel app. And for unique content written by me and direct access to me, check out my Substack. New article up there just last week, sebastiangorka.substack.com. That's my whole name is one word, sebastiangorka.substack.com. Did you know that 84% of New Year's resolutions fail in the first 6 weeks? That's got me thinking about PhD weight loss and nutrition and why it was a success for me. Why I haven't gained 1 pound of my 42-pound weight loss back. Why Jeff, my producer, decided to start the program. Most people blame their failure on a lack of time, motivation, and a loss of zeal. PhD makes it simple. It doesn't take a lot of extra time. They are masters of motivation. You have a team of coaches by your side the whole time, and you don't lose your zeal because every week you make great strides, so you stay excited. Do something different this year and call PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, 864-644-1900. To get started, or online at myphdweightloss.com. Don't do this alone. The number, 864-644-1900, myphdweightloss.com. Now, to have that dialogue and to have people engage in what you're trying to do, John, look, you're the rare guest who can wax philosophical probably for the next couple of hours on the differences and the similarities between Martin Luther King Jr. and Russell Kirk. I met you at a celebration of Russell Kirk's influence on the conservative movement. But one of my greatest concerns, which I would deem a massive, almost insurmountable obstacle to what you're trying to do, is the across-the-board, left and right, dearth of critical thinking. Mm. Not just the dearth of critical thinking, but a skepticism that has led to cynicism, and which truly, from, you know, QAnon to BlueAnon, drives conspiracy theories every single day, especially on social media. Right. Are you not concerned that America is in such a place that the mental decrepitude of critical thinking is going to negate a capacity to have meaningful discussions?
I'm deeply concerned about it. And it's funny because precisely what you just laid out, Sebastian, is exactly what I hear from folks on the left side and on the blue side of the aisle. This overarching concern with our inability to think critically and also the proliferation of misinformation, conspiracies, et cetera, et cetera. I do think, however, that the mistake we make in focusing on that as the primary matter lies in the fact that if you've got all of the right information on the board, and if you are as intelligent as you are and as your listeners are, and you know, there's smart people all across the country even today, but if we are in a place of assuming on the basis of whatever our political affiliation may be that we are, especially as neighbors and family in this country, meaning ill towards each other, if we distrust each other, it doesn't matter what your arguments are. We are all basing our arguments largely on the basis of information that we are gleaning from institutions and third-party sources that we think are a legitimate wellspring of information for us to be able to base our critical deductions on. However, if I'm getting my information from CNN, and you look at that as just a straight-up sort of Marxist outlet, and there's no reason to trust their intentions. There's no reason to trust the integrity of the information. If I'm getting my information from Dr. Sebastian Gorka, the Salem Media Network, and folks on the other side are saying, well, they're just a bunch of fascists to begin with, can't trust anything that they say, well, then there's no point in attributing any credibility to any of my claims. But on the other hand, get beyond the politics for a second and dig into the history and the experience and the psychology here a little bit. If we remember that even in the depth of our errors, again, we're all fallen, we are born in sin here, but if the worldviews that we are encountering in the political arena arise from some depth of human experience that is least worth understanding in terms of coming to grips with why your MAGA uncle thinks the way he does or why your woke niece thinks the way that she does, then again, in terms of the American people being neighbors and family and community members with one another, we can at least establish a context of interpersonal trust to say that I may disagree with what you say and I may not really trust your sources, but I know you mean me well.
Right.
Therefore, let's reason together. There's some space for us to reason together about the particulars of our disagreement.
But you're calling for reasonableness.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make people reasonable? I don't see how you make people reasonable.
This takes us right back to why we need Jesus. And let me just put it to you squarely. And by the way, let me just say, I really appreciate the opportunity to talk about Jesus a little bit because for me, that's at the heart of it. I don't always get that opportunity on other networks
Please.
And platforms. So it means a lot. But the thing about it is, and this harkens back to Martin Luther King Jr.'s philosophy of nonviolence. Dr. King believed that agape love was a spiritual force that could affect social transformation, right? He said that Christ supplied the spirit and Gandhi supplied the method. Go into the history. But it really does require something courageous, and this is why we are braver angels. So it was originally better angels in hearkening to Abraham Lincoln.
Uh-huh.
And braver angels kind of grew out of that. But frankly, Sebastian, we have those of us who have the spiritual courage to do it, we have to be willing to go first in some sense.
Uh-huh.
In signaling to folks on the other side that not only do I think what you say is wrong, but I might even think it's having an evil impact in the world. However, I still love you because you are a creature made in the image of God with imbued human dignity, and I still feel a moral obligation to you to speak the truth to you, but to also listen to what you have to say to me in return. I may not like what I'm hearing at first, but I have a moral obligation to hear you just as surely as I hope that you hear me. And it is only in the opening of those gates of listening, those gates of understanding, that we can create a cultural norm that right. allows us to get back to the sort of discussions that we've lost.
I'm not going to do justice to your answer to that question, so I think we have to get you back for a whole hour just to talk about that, how we realize and we implement agape.
Yes,
before we do that, I've got one more question that I want to ask you. We all know that aches and pains come with simply getting older, but it doesn't mean you have to accept it. That's why I want to tell you about a special lady, Leah from Ohio, and her relief factor story. One Sunday, Leah was sitting on the couch in so much pain, she was literally in tears. That's when she decided to try Relief Factor. Just 8 days later, she found relief, and she continued to get better and better. To quote her, she said, "I am truly amazed at this product. Like me, who after 9, almost 10 years, almost a decade of low back pain, lost that pain thanks to Relief Factor. If you're living with aches and pain, see how Relief Factor, a daily drug-free supplement, could help you feel and live better every day. Get the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. It all comes with a feel better or your money back guarantee. That number, 1-800, the number 4, RELIEF.
relieffactor.com.
You may have heard that Mike Lindell and MyPillow no longer have the support of the big box stores or shopping channels the way they used to. They have been attacked as part of the cancel culture, and so they want to pass the savings directly to you by having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a one-product company. With the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some you may not even know about. To get the word out, I want to invite my listeners to check out their $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillows, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel sets, for $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels. You guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillows with all new Giza fabric, just $25. Orders over $75 will receive free shipping too. This amazing offer won't last long. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code GORKA or call 800-829-8468 today. That's code GORKA.
So, before we can... Or maybe in addition to showing that willingness to respect the other and thus initiate a discussion with them, let's put that to one side for a second, John. Mm. Let me ask you about, as a man, as a young man who's very intelligent and forthright, it is clear from just the statistics on dating in America, on marriage in America, to the incredible popularity of a mild Canadian professor called Jordan Peterson,
yes, sir,
that we have an utter complete crisis with manhood in Western civilization.
Yeah.
Where do we begin with that? Let's put the political stuff aside, braver angels crossing the aisle, getting to talk to each other, listen to the other. Where do we begin to go beyond the make your bed argument of the great Dr. Peterson? And somehow help these men, these young men, who seem damaged at the level of the soul without ever having gone to war. These aren't people who came back from Okinawa or liberated the death camps, but they seem cut to the quick in their soul because of, I don't know what, feminism, critical theory. Where do we begin to help young men in our civilization so we do that before we get to the political stuff?
I wish we had a lot more time to talk about
this. I'm sure the answer is what? Jesus, right?
I suspect that we have. Well, I mean, I do think that...
Can we do something for secular young men?
I do think that Christ is foundational. But to your point, because everything can't be put in religious terms, I do think that we have... Reigniting a language of virtue in American society is key, right?
In the sense of the ancient Greeks, that kind of virtue?
Well, in a broad sense, including that, right? I think that there's a degree to which we have attributed... I've been looking at Andrew Tate on Twitter and so on and so forth. There's a degree to which I think an era of time in which masculinity has been deemed toxic and sort of pushed down has given rise to some... reactive expressions of masculinity that have been wild and undisciplined, where really I think a deep understanding of virtue reminds us that masculinity is captured in service, in self-control, in stoicism even, when it is called for, and an ability to master yourself so that you can lift up the people around you, right? To be able to demonstrate power in gentleness, right? Galatians says that the fruits of the spirit are in love, joy, kindness, long-suffering, gentleness, self-control, right? Are you in control of yourself? Can you make space for other people by virtue of the gravity that you bear in your own character, your own dignity, your own behavior, right? The crudest form of masculinity is the sort of wild outletting and so forth. Viciousness and aggression that we are sometimes tempted to celebrate, particularly in response, again, to sort of the suppression of masculinity. But women and men need for men to be in control of themselves, to hold themselves with dignity in a way that can allow them to shoulder the burdens of life in society. And I think that Jordan Peterson who's been a big influence on me, and there's a lot that I could say about Jordan Peterson in different directions, but I do think that he's been a monumental figure in reintroducing a way of talking about masculinity and virtue that begins to get at some of these qualities. But again, we need to be in touch with history. We need to be in touch with our philosophical and our theological traditions.
And then beyond, celebrated authors and speakers, that's not enough. So who are going to be the transmission belts of this? Is this church leaders? Is it community leaders? One author is not enough.
One author is not enough. Part of what I'm trying to do in the work that we're committed to in Braver Angels is, again, to create cultures of community, but also structures of interaction that give us the opportunity to embody these virtues in front of each other. And so, Sebastian, if you're confronted with an individual, in this chair, not me in this case, but say you're confronted with a man in this chair who's a Marxist, who has sort of wild-eyed, kind of left-wing points of view, but you can tell he stands on integrity. You can tell he stands on honesty. You can tell that he's somebody who's willing to sacrifice for his neighbor or stand up and confront a bully if called upon to do so. These are traits we can respect in one another as men, right? And again, if through our examples, through our platforms, and through the structures that we innovate, we are able to channel and embody the higher virtues of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a human being, right? Then we have a cultural foundation that can begin to absorb some of the deeper dissonance of the issues that makes everything seem so intractable today. The issues are complicated, but if we were righteous, it wouldn't stop us.
Do you see anybody out there who's picking up the baton from Peters and giving us the next iteration?
Oh, boy. Well, that's a tough one right there. I wish I had a good answer. There's not, and the thing is, again, it's not necessarily for lack of. It's definitely not for lack of smart people.
Yeah.
And it's not for lack of good people. Although, again, we're all fallen and so forth. And so, am I good? I leave it to others. But I do think that in the absence of a language of virtue.
Yeah.
We simply don't have the vocabulary to surface these issues. And so insofar as we can help spark some of this awareness in our conversations, that's the service I'm hoping we can provide. But I do believe others are coming forward and will come forward. And we have to wait to see how the Spirit brings that to light.
Yeah. And we look forward, of course, to Jordan Peterson's next book, which I think has the working title, For Those Who Struggle with Jesus, like he does, which is going to be a very, very interesting story.
I think it's We Who Struggle with God, I think.
Yes.
We Who Wrestle with God.
Working title. We talked to the National Ambassador for Braver Angels, braverangels.org. Please follow our friend John Wood Jr. on Twitter at John R. Wood Jr. And if you enjoy the deep dive with real experts, people who make you think like our friend, please make sure you are subscribed on the podcast platform of your choice, whether it's Salem, Stitcher, Apple, Spotify, plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Leave us a 5-star review and please share the links with your friends. You know me, guys. I'm a night owl. I don't like to go to bed because there are so many interesting things to see and read on the internet. I could probably stay up and read all night, but since I do have a hard wake-up time, I occasionally need something to help me wind down and get to sleep. Relief Factor Sleep is the single most effective sleep aid I have ever tried. I've learned a couple of things since taking a Relief Factor Sleep. It's non-addicting, healthy sleep. During certain stages of sleep, your body re-energizes and repairs. It forms and cements memories. I know it works because I feel the difference. When you feel the difference, you know it's working. Unleash the power of great sleep naturally. To order Relief Factor Sleep, go to relieffactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF. That's relieffactor.com or 1-800-4-RELIEF. Sleep, it's the most important thing.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Okay, this is left me with far too many questions I still have to ask you. We'll have you back to talk about how we get to that agape that we can listen to the other person. But
leave them wanting more.
Yeah, I know our listeners across the nation are going to want more. Give us some homework. You're talking about 3.5 million people across the country who may be looking for not just inspiration for themselves, but for their children or their grandchildren. Give us some homework beyond, you know, Kirk, of course, maybe the speeches of MLK Jr. If one wants to dive headfirst into this issue and make a difference and begin to speak the language of virtue in such a way that others can internalize it, where should they begin?
Well, you mentioned King, you mentioned Kirk, we mentioned Peterson, who I do think contemporaneously is a worthy source. I would encourage people to go back to the classical Greeks, to return to Socrates, Plato, and Aristotle.
That's hard to do without a guide. I mean, I studied those in college. I studied philosophy and theology. By yourself, it's not that easy.
That was my pathway to God. On another occasion, maybe we can talk about that. Because prior to studying classical philosophy, I would have called myself an agnostic. And it was actually in traveling through the canon of the classics.
Plato. Right.
Precisely. It was through that I set out on a pathway that ultimately led me to Christ. And so it's own story. But, you know, those thinkers provide the roots of Western reason, but Western ethical reasoning, right?
Yeah, the good.
Right. Of course, Russell Kirk himself is expounding upon a larger conservative tradition in the thoughts of people like Edmund Burke and John Adams and John Randolph of Roanoke and many others, which expand the frame through which we can understand the language of virtue. And Russell Kirk said that conservatism, contrary to the way many of us engage with it, is not an ideology. It is a philosophy and a cast of mind, something that recognizes the permanent things in our history, right?
May I jump in there? An incredibly brave man, former cavalry officer who served in the Trump administration, Robert Riley, who he wrote one of the best books on Islam called The Closing of the Muslim Mind. He once so enlightened me to what conservatism is and what the difference between ideology and conservatism is. He said, everyone else has an ideology because ideologies are distortions through a prism of reality. Mm-hmm. Conservatism isn't a distortion of reality. It is an appreciation of what works, what is true, and what always has been true. So I owe a massive debt of gratitude to Robert Riley. I feel like we've been talking for 3 minutes and it's already over. We shall continue. I think, Jeff, we find the next guest for our Manhood Hour. We can talk about that for so much more time on that occasion. In the meantime, please follow this man on Twitter at John R. for Randolph, John R. Wood Jr., and check out his organization for which he is national ambassador, braverangels.org. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This has been America First One-on-One. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on the swivel, watch your six, hold the line, never give up, never give in, and stay frosty.
Fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
I have a dream.
Ask not
what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people...
great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Why is Mike, is Jordan, why does he not have a criminal conspiracy investigation from Fannie Willis in Georgia to Big Tish James in New York City, the Justice Department? Why have they not been sent letters? Preserve your documents. Why have hearings not gone on? Why have they not broken these things up? You know why? Because they don't really have Trump's back. They want MAGA to go away. They want Trump to be defeated in November. Yes, yes, I know. I said the quiet part out loud.
We don't play a lot of cuts from my old boss, Steve Bannon, do we, Eric? We don't have a lot of... I go on the War Room every Thursday, but we don't always have cuts from Bannon's show, do we?
We don't play nearly enough, in my humble opinion.
Oh, dear, I asked the wrong guy, didn't I? Oh, should, if I have asked Alex, it would have been even worse. You want me to have, like, simulcast from Steve's show, wouldn't you, Alex?
I'm a fan. I'm a fan of Mr. Bannon.
That's okay. So that's really interesting. I made a comment about Jim Jordan. What was it, Jeff? 2 weeks ago, when did Jim Staff get all excited and say, oh, what's Gorka doing? Can we get him back on the show? When was that?
That was two Friday nights ago.
Two Friday nights. Are they going to get Jim back on the show to explain himself?
I think they are. They were rather receptive to our email back.
All right, so I'm going to stop laughing because I don't know if Steve timed this, if he can see through my show notes or whether he knew who I had a meeting with today. The individual will go nameless. He's a good guy, and he has declared war on the deep state, but quietly. And the name of Jim Jordan came up in our discussions, who I like personally, but here are some questions. A la Bannon's little diatribe. Why isn't the chairman of the Judiciary Committee standing up for the J6ers, who are political prisoners? Eric, do we have a good answer for that? Why is Jim Jordan, chairman of judiciary, not standing up for the J6ers?
That's a good question. And honestly, the fact we even have to ask that question is indicative of the problem in and of itself.
Okay, here's the next one for Alex. We were told that the FBI wouldn't get billions of dollars at a new FBI headquarters. They got one. Do you think Chairman Jordan has a good answer for that?
No.
I think you're probably right. And then how about this one? Deep state. Deep state is real. We had 51 former CIA directors and intelligence officers just before the last election call the Hunter Biden laptop story Russian disinformation. Have any of them been subpoenaed? And what about criminal referrals? Congress can bring civil actions, even if Biden's Department of Justice refuses to act upon criminal referrals from Jim Jordan or Chairman Comer or anybody else. Congress, there's nothing stopping them hiring some aggressive lawyers. I'll tell them where to find them. Maybe they could ask the Heritage Foundation. They've got some rather fine individuals there who could bring actions, bring cases against corrupt officials who are still in government, or how about this? This is a really interesting one. The NGOs who are working with the deep state to undermine the fabric of our republic. For example, all the NGOs that funneled the $420 million Mark Zuckerberg pushed into the last election to privatize it, to take control of the election, to provide drug boxes in predominantly Democrat districts, or to bring cases about corruption under the color of law against key members who targeted President Trump, his associates, his campaign, and innocent Americans. such as Andrew McCabe, such as Mark Elias, Democrat strategist, such as Peter Stroke of the FBI, such as John Brennan. Why has that not happened? How long have the conservatives, well, I won't use that because that's not who they are, the Republicans had control of the House? How long have these individuals, with R's after their name, been in chairman positions? Where are the results? Could you imagine if they committed the amount of resources and time to this issue that the Democrats did for their fake January 6th committee? I just got these figures from my meeting. Any idea how much the Democrats spent on the January 6th committee? Eric, do you remember how long was the January 6th committee? Like a couple of months, maybe? Two, three months?
I think it was a full 2 years before the Republican majority post-2022 finally got rid of it.
No. The actual hearings.
Oh, the hearings.
The January 6th, maybe 6 weeks, something like that?
Give or take, yeah.
Okay. They spent, hold on to your horses, $16 million of our money. $16 million. After we took back the House, instead of creating a separate weaponization of the state as a political tool committee, what did they say? Jim Jordan said, you don't need a committee. We'll just squish it under judiciary and we'll make it, you know, a subcommittee under COMA. Which means what? A fraction of the resources. They've spent maybe $2 or $3 million with, how about this? No new full-time staffers. No full-time investigators. How are you going to investigate the 7-year targeting of President Trump, of his deputies in the White House, of his campaign? Jeff, how are you going to target 7 years of deep state activity without hiring one investigator or any extra full-time staff?
It's impossible.
It's a joke, right? You're
exactly.
You're not serious. You don't give a damn, right?
Especially because the Democrats will have a huge law firm to defend themselves.
Oh, yes. They will have lawyers volunteering to work for free, working pro bono, just to hammer conservatives. So, here's the conclusion after my discussion today. It's what I was starting to think. Comer is actually a good guy. Hasn't been given the resources. Not a tier one communicator, but his heart's in the right place and he wants to fight. Can we say the same about Chairman Jordan? Well, let's just look at the results, or lack thereof. And if you're listening, staffers for the chairman, as you were 2 weeks ago on Friday, the mic still stands open for your boss. And we welcome him to come on the show, but he better have an explanation for the egregious lack of results under his chairmanship and since Republicans took over the House. Because this is a war, and they are using every weapon in their arsenal. And we don't even seem to be on the battlefield. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First. The number here to sound off on that issue or any of the issues of the day. President Trump is back in court. The communist, Jew-hating students are at it again. The number is 833-33-GORKA. That's 833-334-6752. We have a wonderful in-studio third-hour deep dive guest. Never miss the long-form interview. Subscribe to our podcast on whichever platform you frequent. Plug in my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Never, ever miss an episode. Leave us a 5-star review and share the links with your friends. And if you want somebody to take on the deep state,
put the yard sign with his booking photograph from Fulton County outside your home. Wear the T-shirt. Get the mug that says Trump 2024 at SebGorkaStore.com. That's SebGorkaStore.com. And support the president directly at DonaldJTrump.com.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.